long and healthy life.
Once again, this time in D.C. Howdy, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Many of you might have already hit the road or you're getting to do so on Wednesday. Once again, safe travels and happy Turkey Day from all of us here at America Tonight. But boy, what a debate it was. It really was an interesting debate over national security. 11, do you believe it? 11, and these ratings are in double digits, so the network's scrambling to get them. This time CNN and Wolf Blitzer leading the pack. An interesting moment was when Herman Cain butchered Wolf's name. What is it? Wolf. He struggled with his name. Hey, that happens to all of us, right? Got to do more crossword puzzles, or he needs to get more rest. Some of the interesting key points in this debate included Rick Santorum, who's part of the eight, who says you need to profile people who are traveling, including Muslims. Why don't we profile? I'm going to go ding, ding, ding. I don't get it. I think we should profile. Actually, look at human behaviors if you want the softer version of it. Everybody keeps comparing what El Al does in Israel. What they do is profile. So we don't profile, but yet so many people would say we need to copy what they're doing. Well, we can't if we want to admit to doing that or at least call it something else. You know my take. Get the ex-cops and detectives and FBI people who are sitting around eating Fig Newtons who want to go back to work. Put their eyes on the front line, and I think you'd stop a lot of potential nuts. So that scored high points with me, although Rick Santorum, I think, has no chance to become president. As much as I do like a few of the things he says, in this crowd, in this bunch, no way, no how. One of the biggest tangles, if you will, verbal volleying back and forth, which I'm always looking for, is Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul. Ron Paul, the congressman from Texas. A lot of you like Ron Paul who listen to this show. Kind of got into it over the Patriot Act. Ron Paul never wavers. He doesn't care what people think. I believe that. I truly do. Whatever he says, he stands by. He's not a flip-flopper. A lot of people who don't like Ron Paul might be able to take some shots at him in different directions, but not when it comes to standing by what leaves his lips. So he talked about liberty versus security.
I have a personal belief that you never have to give up liberty for security. You can still provide security without sacrificing our Bill of Rights.
All right. He has a point, because the problem is, like so many things in the government, too much government can be bad. Why? Because they poke around in areas where you don't need them poking around. And do you really want that many eyes in your business? It is a thin line, and I think he's right about that. Here's the thing. You still need to have security. Absolutely. But there is a way to do it, and we're not doing it correctly on either side of this. So we're going to talk more about the debate, but also coming up on this Hour of America Tonight, a big story broke earlier in the week about Natalie Wood and the fact that they're opening up the investigation into her death. She's a big-time movie star. If you go back into, you know, the 50s and 60s, you would classify her as the hot chick of the era. And she's married or was married to Robert Wagner, and there's a whole story about her being on the boat, and then she drowned and whatever. So we're going to go to the West Coast, as we do every week, and talk to our man in Hollywood, Stephen Shohat. He's always got the good scoop on the backstories of things like this, and certainly he'll take us down the lane of why was Natalie Wood the top movie star of her day, kind of like the Jennifer Aniston, maybe I would compare it to, kind of a cross between Aniston probably and Angelina Jolie. So that'll be interesting. Plus, next, Jeff Holtzman was at the Republican debate. We're going to get his thoughts on, because he was there, who he thought won. And I have a feeling he's going to probably go Newt. He's very high on Newt Gingrich, like a lot of people are, as he's rising in the polls. And Mitt Romney, Mitt Romney constantly comes up in any of the debates as solid, solid, always there at the top. So we'll talk to Jeff Holtzman. And at the end of the show, because it is Thanksgiving, I just mentioned, of course, safe travels and all of that, the idea that you can have a good Thanksgiving, but you don't have to walk away and feel like you've just eaten 10 turkeys. You know what I'm talking about. It's easy to do because you pick, you sit at the table, you're watching the football games, and listen, I'm a live and let live person. If you want to do that, that's good. But so many of us don't want to do that anymore. We still want to be able to indulge, but we don't want to have to pay for it in spades down the line. I don't know too many people that want to have their heart burst open. They don't want to have their chest burst open, rather, and have to go through the whole heart procedure thing. And they don't want to have to do some of the radical things that people, frankly, have had to do because they aren't in shape and they are plowing themselves with bad stuff. There's little things you can do, and you'll feel better for it. So we talk about that with him at the tail end of this hour. And in between, we're mixing a couple of other things. Like I said, the Republican debate, which we're going to kick around in our next segment too as well. To be sure, there were some other things that happened, like the president, while this was going on in D.C. And everybody was there, by the way, that's running on the Republican side for 2012 to nab the seat in the White House on the Republican side of things anyway. The president really, I think, fancies himself the beacon of the middle class, and he thought he was going to get a lot of support from the Occupy Wall Street folks, but apparently not so fast. He had a lot of hecklers who interrupted a speech which he was giving when he was in New Hampshire, and so maybe that's backfiring on him. A lot of people were interrupting him when he was trying to talk. In fact, at one point, he just stopped. He just stopped in the middle of it and let that go a little bit. He took some shots at some Republicans, talked about things that had to happen, and then all of that kicked in. And there is no, I think, politician that represents whatever the element is that's part of Occupy Wall Street. Initially, in my gut, I think OWS is a good thing. I think people should be able to speak out. I'm always about power to the people. But the problem is with everything that I've been able to find out about what they're doing in Philly and what they're doing in Chicago and what they're doing in New York and what they're doing in Raleigh and what they're doing in Oakland, it's just not as advertised. And I think that the places where the protests are being held aren't the right places to be. Blocking people who aren't really making that much money from their jobs does nothing because they're part of the 99%. So that's misplaced anger and frustration. It really has to be squarely on the politicians because, after all, remember this, these are the people we elect to represent us. I say it all the time. It's the truth. There is no way around that unless we go back to a dictatorship like the crown that we got away from so many years ago. Democracy can work, absolutely. Unfortunately, we've polluted it because there's too much gridlock in Washington. That's what the problem is. We have to unlock the gridlock. That's what we need to do. Coming up next, more on the Republican debate with our man Jeff Holtzman. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection action so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Do you believe it? That's how many the Republicans have had. Right here from the get-go, we're talking about Washington, D.C., because this is where the debate was held, Constitutional Hall. The focus, there was a national security debate overall that was supposed to be the focus, and pretty much they stuck to the theme. Joining us now, somebody who was on the scene, Jeff Holtzman from Talk Radio News. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kate. Good to be with you.
I'll tell you what, thanks. It seemed like this was really the uptown crowd, the suits, the brains, the think tanks. Am I right?
Yeah, we're not in Kansas anymore. You can say that.
I like how you diplomatically put that. Who do you think, since you were there handicapping it, and I have my own thoughts on this, and we're going to talk about this, America, by the way, who do you think won this debate, 800-259-5791? But, Jeff, who do you think nabbed it this time?
Well, I think Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney both did very well tonight. I thought Newt Gingrich had a chance to showcase his foreign policy credentials right out of the gate. The first question was directed at him. It was about the Patriot Act. And Newt Gingrich, you know, he stuck to his guns, and that's not something that he's known to do. He's able to distinguish himself from the rest of the field, on certain issues because he, you know, he really speaks his mind, and he, on foreign policy, it's clear that he's not in lockstep with the rest of the field. And I think, in doing so, in participating in this debate tonight, Gingrich, I think came across as very likable, as very well received by folks who are paying close attention to our policy toward, you know, the Middle East, immigration, Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah, I agree with you. I liked what when he talked about Chile, and he was talking about the fact that the government would pick up the slack or pick up, I shouldn't say slack, would help people who retired if they didn't have enough covered in some of what they had already put away. In other words, balancing it out between the bank account and their version of Social Security. I thought he explained that rather well because this is coming off the heels of the super committee and talk about entitlements and where we're headed with that if something isn't done. And I give him credit for that. That was a good spin, and he knew his material well. well? Who do you think didn't know their material as well?
Well, I think Herman Cain had some moments that he probably wishes he had back. Cain was asked about his position on Israel-Iran. What would he do if Israel decided to go to war with Iran? Would he back Israel? He seemed to really stumble there, and he seemed to come across as not really being too clued into to that issue. He said that, you know, Iran is very mountainous, so it could be tricky to attack. And I think a lot of people here in the Press File Center, including myself, were sort of scratching their heads. I think Cain had a good moment later on in the debate on immigration. He has a 4-point plan that he articulated very well in terms of combating illegal immigration. It revolves around securing the border and disincentivizing lowering incentives for illegals to come to this country. He looked good on that answer, but I think that he stumbled a couple times on Middle Eastern foreign policy. I do want to say, in terms of Gingrich and the Chile thing, that was interesting because the debate seemed to shift to economic issues for a bit, yep, 20-30 minutes. And Gingrich, of course, put out his Social Security reform plan on Monday, and his plan is modeled after the Chilean model, which is essentially a private system. Citizens are allowed to opt into a private system. Gingrich's plan is very modeled on that, and I think Mitt Romney is really the only major candidate now in the field that doesn't have a meaningful Social Security reform plan, so we'll see if that hurts him going forward.
Yeah, good point. Speaking of Newt Gingrich again, he kind of got into it with Ron Paul, and it was after Ron Paul called the Patriot Act unpatriotic because it undermines our liberty. And you could see a couple of grins in the audience and shifting of some faces going back and forth kind of watching this. I thought that was an interesting moment. Did you?
It was an interesting moment. It was right at the beginning of the debate. It really set the tone in terms of Gingrich sort of being ganged up on. I think that Gingrich, I think he endeared himself to the crowd here. He got a big applause after this back and forth with Ron Paul over the Patriot Act. Ron Paul said, well, you know, the Patriot Act is basically emblematic of us giving up our individual liberties. And Newt Gingrich said, we need the Patriot Act to combat terrorists. He said there's a distinction, a fine distinction between criminals and terrorists who try to commit acts of war. And the crowd gave him a huge applause after that. And from then on, I thought that Gingrich did pretty well.
You talked in the beginning when I asked you who you thought did well in the debate, and of course you're singing the praises of Newt Gingrich, but you also said Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney said, one of the things he said right from the get-go was that his first foreign trip would be Israel because we need to show the world we care about that that country and that region, I believe is what he said. I thought that was pretty interesting because of the concern with Israel and Iran. How do you think others handled that question?
Well, I think that Mitt Romney had a good answer in terms of appealing to the audience, because you know this is a very pro-Israel audience. If you're running as a Republican contender, you take that position, but you have to take it very clearly. And Mitt Romney did that aggressively from the outset. I think that there was an interesting question at the end. The candidates were asked about, what do you think the most immediate threat is, national security-wise? Mm. And Romney revisited the Israel thing. He said, you know, I'd visit Israel, but then I'd also visit Latin America. A number of candidates pointed out that Hezbollah has a growing presence in Latin America, and Romney, among others, cited that as a growing problem facing the U.S.
How about, and then others? Because, of course, on the stage, you got eight people. What about Michelle Bachmann? Do you think that she kind of came to the party and rose a little bit on a few things, or answers kind of in the middle of the pack?
I think Michelle Bachmann had a decent, if not unspectacular, debate. I think that Bachmann very clearly spoke out about the need to keep an eye on China, I should say.
Yep.
She made a very good point about, us being so indebted to the Chinese, and then the Chinese in turn using our dollars to fund the rise of their military. That drew a strong applause from the audience. Obviously, a lot of conservatives very concerned about the rise or China's potential military rise. So I thought that Bachmann had a couple of good moments. I don't think anything can necessarily put her over the top in the grand scheme of things. I mean, I still look for Gingrich, Romney, and those two to basically dominate the polls going forward. Kane, I thought, slipped a little bit. I think he'll probably lose some points over his foreign policy. But I think Bachmann did okay.
Another thing that came up that we haven't mentioned yet was when we talk about national security was the illegal immigration problem. And I thought it was interesting the way some of the candidates handled that. And Rick Perry, I mean, this is in his wheelhouse because, of course, being the governor of Texas for 10 years right there on the border, I actually think for as much trouble as he's kind of had with this question, depending on the crowd, he did okay.
Yeah, I thought Rick Perry's probably his finest moment of the debate was his response to the question of illegal immigration. What do you do about that? Perry is a guy who's obviously been governor for over 10 years in a border state. He understands the problem, and he articulated his plan, which would be to secure the border, but use multiple sources in terms of doing that. You know, put troops on the ground, but also use a sort of electric fence, electric surveillance, that sort of thing. Perry, I thought, sort of distanced themselves from the other candidates who don't have as much expertise in that area. I thought that Perry, though, slipped a little bit, on his answers on the Middle East. You know, his position on Syria, I think, needs to be dug into a little deeper. It seems like he's maybe a little wishy-washy about how he'd go ahead go about handling the violence that's going on in Syria, as well as Jordan and Egypt and other places.
Yeah. One last one. Now, this is it. I said 11 debates. You believe it? 11 debates, Jeff, since June we're talking about. I don't even know. I just always assume there's another debate coming up. I look like a week ahead. Do we have anything else left before the end of the year?
There's a form in Iowa that will be, I believe, on December 1st. Not necessarily a debate in the traditional setting, but a lot of the candidates will be in Iowa. I believe there's also a debate in Arizona. I don't have the exact date on that. There will be a couple events before the new year featuring most of the candidates, if not all of them. I think in all, before the convention next year, there will be at least 23 or 24 debates, according to my calendar.
Yeah, and you know, can you blame the networks for wanting to do it? It's like reality television times 10. The ratings are so big for all of these. Have you seen that? Crazy. Yeah, big ratings. So, of course, you're going to have a lot of people come out. All right, Jeff Holtzman, we know you're busy. Thanks so much. Great. Right after the debate from Talk Radio News. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks a lot, Kate. See ya.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network. You have storable food, filtered water, even shelter, but do you have a way to start a fire immediately? Now you can with InstaFire, a revolutionary, safe, simple, and versatile fire starter. InstaFire is a patented blend of volcanic rock, wood pellets, and paraffin wax that gets a fire blazing in just minutes. So just add water to your survival food and enjoy a hot meal in no time. InstaFire is self-sustaining fire and even starts right on top of snow or water or in any severe weather, even 40-mile-per-hour crosswinds. Sound incredible? It is. Check it out at InstaFire.com. A must for any preparedness kit, InstaFire easily lights with matches or flintlock lighters, is environmentally
family-friendly, stores easy with a 30-year shelf life, is lightweight, comes in a variety of sizes, and starts at $1.25 for a single pack, or only $59.95 for a 5-gallon pail with free shipping. Go to instafire.com, spelled I-N-S-T-A-fire.com, or call 888-482-4868. That's 888-482-4868. Safe, simple, versatile. Instafire.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
What would Thanksgiving Day be without football? More on that tradition on Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Tombstone Pizza. With multiple varieties to choose from, there's a Tombstone Pizza that's sure to please your family. What do you want on your tombstone? Family dinner is important, but who says it has to be at the table? When life gets busy and the pressure is on, pull out the good paper plates and settle in for pizza and a movie. It's fun, easy, and memorable for the whole family. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
The NFL's Thanksgiving Day Classic has been around since pro football officially kicked off in 1920. In the beginning, Chicago teams were always involved. Then Green Bay jumped in and the Lions, too. The game wasn't played between 41 through 45 because of World War II. It's the only time Turkey Day had no pro football. 56 was the first color TV broadcast of a game between the Lions and Baltimore. In 1966, the Cowboys started hosting games and never looked back. One of the most controversial games was the Eagles' 27-0 drubbing of the boys in a game nicknamed the Bounty Bowl in 89 because of the alleged $200 bounty put on the Cowboys' kicker's head by then-Philly coach Buddy Ryan, who cut Luis Sendejas earlier in the season. This year, things start off with the Packers and the Lions, followed by the Dolphins and the boys, ending with John Harbaugh's coached Baltimore taking on brother Jim Harbaugh's 49ers. Happy Thanksgiving. Talk to you again on Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess. Yeah, I'll tell you what, those three games should be a lot of fun, especially that late game, Baltimore and San Francisco, because both teams are doing so well, and I love it that you got the two brothers going up against each other because they're the best of friends. Imagine what the Harbaughs, their mother and father, are doing during this game. Where do they sit? We'll take a neutral corner. All right, he's never neutral. He's always entertaining. Stephen Shohat joins us. He is the author of Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. I think he really is one of the best storytellers that I've ever heard talk about movies. So we're going to usher him in from our virtual green room as he gets ready for Turkey Day like everyone else. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Hey, Kate, how you doing? That should be a great game between San Francisco and Baltimore.
Boy, yeah, and who do you... you know what? I'm going with San Francisco. It's tough, though.
Well, they seem to have been playing better so far, but it's hard to tell when people play different schedules. And it should be really interesting. But he sure is a great coach, though, the San Francisco brother. I mean, he just did a fantastic job at Stanford. So
yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. And it shows you, though, their whole life, and their father was the same way, they were football fanatics. And they were so versed in the X's and O's of the game and watching players. And so for both of their careers, you can see that it's really, really paying off.
I know that first year he was coaching for Stanford, I mean, USC was a national championship contender. Cal was considered a national championship contender. And Stanford was at the bottom of everybody's predictions, and he beat them both.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just amazing. If you would have said that at the beginning of the year, you could have won a mint.
Yeah,
so,
I agree with you.
He's an amazing coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Natalie Wood, the big story broke this week that they're reopening the investigation into her death. What do you know about that? Why are they doing that?
It's hard to say. The captain, Dale DeFern, came up with some information, I guess. He's been talking like this since 1985, been saying that something sinister happened on the Splendor boat Thanksgiving weekend 1981 involving Robert Wagner and Natalie Wood having a big argument before she disappeared off the boat. Now, the funny thing is that the police are saying that Robert Wagner's absolutely not a suspect. There's theories flying all around that the sheriff in L.A. County, Sheriff Baca, is under some investigation, so he wants to do a publicity type of thing that gets the heat off of him. That's one theory. The wildest theory I've heard, and I doubt this is true, but it's flying around on the Internet, it's all a big publicity stunt to promote West Side Story's 50th DVD anniversary. Doubt it's true, but, the rumors are definitely going to fly with a situation like this.
Oh, yeah, and it definitely has people talking. Well, Natalie Wood, in her day, as I said, she was smoking. She was an on-fire actress. People loved to watch Natalie Wood, didn't they?
Yeah, and I think that's why so many people are still interested in that case, and so many people have that bit of suspicion that something else happened that night. I personally don't think anything else happened that night. I personally think she was drinking quite a bit, and unfortunately she had an accident where she slipped off the boat, and I think that, you know, people talk about how Robert Wagner didn't call the Coast Guard right away. Well, I think it's hard to imagine that, you know, your wife died or your wife is drowning or the worst happened. I'm not saying he shouldn't have called. He should have, but I don't think his motivation was untoward, but I guess other people would think different things. She was obviously an actress that meant a lot to a lot of people. There's a great story in the book Natalie by Susan Finstad about the night she died. They were all at this restaurant called Doug's in Catalina Island, and they were all pretty inebriated, Robert Wagner, Christopher Walken, and Natalie Wood. And Natalie Wood was in the bathroom, and there were two little girls in the bathroom, and Natalie Wood became friendly with them and started combing their hair and saying, "Oh, you're so lucky to be little girls, to have your life ahead of you." And it was speculated that the reason Natalie Wood felt that way is because her childhood was sort of denied, that she very early on, her mother decided that she was going to be a star, took her to every Margaret O'Brien movie so she could learn to mimic her, and she was such a professional very early on. Her nickname was One Take Natalie. When she made the movie Miracle on 34th Street, that became an unexpected mammoth hit, and the biggest problem in making that movie was, how do you find a little girl that doesn't believe in Santa Claus? I mean, who could pull that off? And one of the assistant directors remembered Natalie Wood as being this child prodigy, and she was excellent in the role, although in real life she did believe in Santa Claus, and so it was just purely great acting, and that just came across. And it wasn't until she made Rebel Without a Cause, when she was 17 years old, when she finally started to take control of her own life and start trying to pick her own movies instead of doing everything that her parents wanted her to do.
Yeah. Was she known off the set as kind of a party girl? Did she hook up a lot of the hot actors of the day, like Warren Beatty and whatnot?
Yeah, well, you know, that. Well, what happened was she was with Robert Wagner, married to him for 5 years, and then for whatever reason their marriage fell apart. And a lot of people thought it was because she made Splendor in the Grass with Warren Beatty, but actually they didn't get along at that time. Actually, she felt Warren Beatty was very hard to work with. So it was after the marriage fell apart and then they started meeting up on publicity tours. That's when the romance took hold. But yeah, she was having a lot of romances, or, you know, they like for a while she was very interested in James Dean, and they had the she would go to the Beverly Wilshire Hotel all the time and try on shoes because James Dean was working as a shoe salesman. So she kept trying on different shoes to get his attention. There was, you know, eventual linkage to Raymond Burr and to Arthur Lowe, a producer, and yeah, various different people that she was, Frank Sinatra, various different people that she was having romances with. But the thing about her, the one story I really love was when she kind of had a bad year with the movie The Great Race, which was a difficult movie for her to get through, and she didn't get along very well with Tony Curtis during the making of that movie. And Harvard gave her the Hasty Pudding Award for Worst Actress of the Year, and then she shocked everybody by showing up. And the Harvard students were amazed that she was there. Nobody had ever shown up for that. And she thought the thing was just terribly funny and was laughing the whole way through it. And they thought she was a wonderful sport. So the young men at Harvard, they picked her up and carried her around on their shoulders through the campus. And it was a really nice day for her. So, yeah. She definitely had a good sense of humor about herself. And she did take acting very seriously, but she didn't always take herself too seriously.
Yeah, there you go. We only have a couple minutes left, but you mentioned it, West Side Story. Wow, 50 years. That was a huge movie for her, right?
Yeah. Well, that was, she made the mistake on that movie. They offered her $250,000 straight up, or $200,000 plus 5% of the gross. And because she had had money problems recently with some of her movies not being the biggest hits, and she was worried about her career, she took the $250,000. And West Side Story had cost $6 million to make, so she didn't think there would be any profits. It had not been a profit maker on Broadway at the time, anyway, 4 years old. And of course, it became a tremendous smash hit and surprised everybody how big it was. And of course, it won Best Picture, and she regretted it for the rest of her life. She, a few years later, made a movie called Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, which was a very racy movie at the time about spouse swapping, and Elliot Gould and Diane Cannon and Robert Culp were her co-stars. And the press, you know, there was a lot of entertainment journalists who came down to see what was going on with that movie. And the other actors would say, "Oh, talk to Natalie. She's the smart one of the four of us." And she said, "Oh, yeah, I'm real smart. I could have had 5% of West Side Story. I'm really bright." But she learned her lesson. She did take a percentage of Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice and did quite well. So.
Yeah, good for her. Stephen Shohat, have a fabulous Turkey Day. Everybody listening, you can pick up his book, Amazon, all over the place. Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes, as I said before, about the stars and legends of the movies. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it.
Thanks, Stephen. And notice, isn't it interesting, now you always read about this, the stars mostly take, they still get a big chunk of change, but take a lot on the back end, and that's how they make a ton of money and end up on those Forbes lists as richest Hollywood actors, or end up on the entertainment list and whatnot. Coming up on the flip side, our conversation with Pharmacist Ben.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG.
no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Thanksgiving, traditionally a time where you just can't help yourself. You eat too much. Seconds, thirds, mashed potatoes, stuffing, cranberry sauce, you name it, whatever's on the table. I have seen people inhale amounts of food that I cannot believe they're eating. So Thanksgiving is a time to have fun, is a time to enjoy your family. But really, how much do you want to eat when you're at the Thanksgiving table? And let's face it, it is very tricky. Because that's what you do. I mean, that's part of the tradition. You watch football, which I'm really watching all three football games. They're huge this year. But how much do you want to eat, and is there a way around that? Can you still enjoy Thanksgiving and not stuff yourself like the turkey you're eating? Each and every week, we talk to my pal pharmacist Ben Fuchs. He's got the skinny on Thanksgiving, so to speak.
Oh, my God.
How do we not kill ourselves and gain 10 pounds in a couple of days?
I want the person who writes your material to write for me. Can I get that person?
That's me.
Whoever that is.
That's me. $50 an hour plus.
I am hiring you. You write some funny stuff there, girl. You should take that show on the road.
I know.
Now, listen. So you said some interesting things there. I love those questions because it really is important to understand how to hit your brain's satiety buttons. You know, we're always talking about satisfaction and satiety buttons. It's always important to hit your brain's satiety buttons, but it's especially important around holidays when the temptation is sitting there. And I'm not saying don't eat. I'm just saying enjoy it. Don't eat as much. And I think we touched upon this. I'm thinking it was with you. We touched upon this whole idea of eating psychologically and emotionally. And Jeanine Roth, did you and I talk about that on a previous show about emotional
eating? We have talked about that before, yes.
Okay, so there's this whole, nothing pushes emotional eating buttons as much as holidays for so many different reasons. You're already weak emotionally during a holiday, for most people anyway, because you get your family around and you're stressed and you're doing a million things. You're already tempted, you're already weak. And by the way, we go for things we shouldn't go for, and we lose our sense of direction when we're stressed or when we're worried about something or when we're busy. And so the holidays, for many reasons, lend themselves to going falling off the wagon, so to speak. And that's where you have this phenomena where people actually fall off the wagon for 6 weeks from the week before Thanksgiving to right after New Year's. And everybody who owns a gym knows that the biggest crowds come in right after New Year's because there's this sense that I'm going to let myself go for 6 weeks and then I'm going to turn it around, which never works. So what you have to do is you've got to hit your brain's satiety, satisfaction buttons. And we always talk about this, but it becomes especially important the days before Thanksgiving when the temptation is there and right before the Thanksgiving meal. Hit the Beyond Tangy Tangerine. Make sure you're drinking your salt water. Make sure you're using butter and oil and essential fatty acid capsules, those EFA capsules, liberally. Pay no attention to the silliness that's out there around cholesterol and fat. You want fat. You need fat. It hits your brain satisfaction button. Try to make it essential fatty acid fat and coconut oil. Have you and I talked about coconut oil?
Oh, yeah. It's
coconut
so good for you.
Coconut oil is a very important fat for satiety. Yes, good for you on any level. But especially for satiety, blend vegetables and coconut oil and butter and salt and garlic and spices and mix them up liberally. You want to hit your brain's satisfaction buttons and don't skimp. And also don't skip on protein. And also make sure you're getting electrolytes. And that's those electrical mineral-like substances that we haven't talked about a lot. They're mineral-like substances that actually have an electrical charge. And they create a lot of satisfaction, potassium, calcium, sodium. Here's a real trick, neat little trick for you, and for your listeners. When you take water and you, ordinary water, and you spin it in a vortex, create a vortex by spinning it really fast, you create electrical energy. And if you add electrolytes from cucumbers or from blueberries, and you don't have to add a lot, just a few of them in there, and you blend those in, or vegetables, a small amount of pepper, or whatever your favorite vegetable is, you get this electrically charged drink that because it's electrically charged, it meets your, it hits your satiety button, and it satisfies independent of calories. And that's the key. You want to satisfy independent of calories. So you don't need calories to satisfy. And that's the ideal situation. When you electrify the water with minerals, and electrolytes from fruits and vegetables, you can even add a little sea salt in there, a little photo minerals in there, whatever you like. When you electrify that water by spinning it around, it creates a tremendous amount of satisfaction. Lemon water, very, very satisfying. So use these kinds of strategies of hitting your brain's satiety buttons with electrolytes, with salt, with fat, liberal use of fat, with protein, as in protein powders, which are extremely satisfying. And when it comes to, if you do it for 2 days, you come to Thanksgiving dinner, and you might have a piece of turkey, you know, you might have some potatoes, but you won't be eating like it's going out of style. We have that big belly, and you're sitting on the couch, and you feel like you can't believe I ate that, and you need a nap. And you wake up, and the first thing you do when you wake up is you're in the refrigerator looking for leftovers, which is what happens to everybody pretty much. And that's because we're not getting our satiety needs met, and we're ingesting a heck of a large digestive load that costs us energy, it costs us immunity. We become weaker. It's just we hate ourselves the next day on top of everything else.
Boy, isn't that true. That's great advice about the water. And you can see why when you go to certain restaurants and they serve you the water and ask if you want the lemon, that is key. There's something about the taste, how it kicks in. And, of course, the electrolytes, as you're mentioning.
Yes. You know, for your listeners, try a little lemon water and feel how satisfying and how energizing it is just adding the lemon. It's amazing how just adding lemon does that, especially with the peel. The peel is very sun protective, too, for people who are concerned about sun damage. If you take the peel of lemons and limes and warm them up or pour hot water over them and make green tea or something out of it, it makes a great sun protective beverage.
Oh, I have to remember that. Take the peels, too. And before we jump on, because everybody always wants to know about these foods, other foods, you just gave us some great examples of what to do, like the Beyond Tangy Tangerine, which I think is just killer. It just knocks out those craving things. There's no question. Go get it at AmericaTonightTeam.com. I've been taking it now for a while, a couple of months, and I love it. It's such a big turnaround. But before we jumped on the air, you also were eating something, and I said, wow, what are you eating? And you said, oh, it's a great new power food. What is the power food?
You ready for this one? You get roasted pan-roasted Brussels sprouts. You ever have pan-roasted Brussels sprouts?
No.
They're amazing. Pan-roasted Brussels sprouts. I get them at Whole Foods, but if you're, you know, domestic, you can buy a pan-roast your own. Pan-roasted Brussels sprouts, sea salt, and butter. That's my latest power. And then they're crunchy, like it's a little snack, a little pricey when you buy them at Whole Foods. It's the only problem. But it's the most crunchy, delicious-tasting snack you'll ever have, and it's extremely satisfying and extremely good for you, especially for women. Brussels sprouts are protective against female cancers, against breast cancer, against uterine cancer, against ovarian cancer. For men, it's protective against prostate cancer. So Brussels sprouts are amazing, amazing food.
Yeah, I like Brussels sprouts, too, and I think you're right. There's something about textures of foods. You keep mentioning that.
Yeah,
crunchy's
crunchy,
big.
Crunchy. Do you know crunchy scientists study crunch? And they'll actually, do you know how when you rip open a bag of chips, it makes that whoosh sound?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That whoosh sound is scientifically designed because it duplicates the crunch. It imitates the crunch. And they've done studies on this, how people like the whoosh sound because it has an implication of crunch. Even Pringles will do it. They don't need to do it that way, but it gives that sense that there's a certain kind of a crunchiness to the food. We will go a long way for crunch, and there's a lot of things we'll do for crunch. And food processors and food scientists know this, and that's why the foods that have the most addictive value are always crunchy foods. And you know how you create a crunch? You know how a crunch is created? You ready for this? This is really interesting food science. A crunch is created in a food that has a lot of little nooks and crannies, which is typically a starch, like potatoes. So potatoes are a great one for nooks and crannies, microscopic nooks and crannies. And when a vegetable that has a lot of nooks and crannies, like a potato, is sliced very thin, and it's dipped in a liquid fat that cools instantly, what happens is the liquid fat goes into the nooks and crannies and instantly cools. And you get this microscopic combination of little nooks and crannies filled with fat. And the net result of all these microscopic nooks and crannies with liquid fat that is congealed, hardened fat, is that kind of crunch that you get
when
you crack a potato chip. And that technology has revolutionized economies. Not revolutionized, has transformed economies. It has created companies like Keebler and Nabisco and Philip Morris that owns Keebler and Nabisco. And it's created these huge conglomerates that make so much money because the profit margin on oil and starch is insanely high. And on top of that, you don't even get very much, typically, of the product when you buy a product. Like after a dollar, you get maybe 10 or 15 little pieces of potato.
Sure.
The margin on these things is absolutely impossible, and it's all because we love crunch.
Yeah.
So give yourself crunch. Give yourself crunch. Brussels,
but healthy crunch. But do the Brussels sprouts thing. Yeah, healthy crunch. I love that. And go to AmericaTonightTeam.com and pick up what we're talking about, Beyond Tangy Tangerine. Ben, you have a great Thanksgiving, great tips,
Thanks.
And we'll talk to you again next week. Next week
have
we'll do it again.
Night. Have a great holiday.
You too.
Bye-bye, Kate.
Bye-bye.